Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the first epistle of John, the chapter 1. John's first epistle, chapter 1. We want to read together from the verse 1 of the chapter down to the verse 10. To read the whole of the chapter. The word of the Lord says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let us, with the word of God open before us, seek the Lord's help in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to the great need of this hour for help from heaven for the preaching of the gospel. We pray that man may be hidden behind the cross, none seen, save Jesus only. We ask that no voice be heard but that of the Spirit of God within the heart of man. May it be a voice that awakes the dead and gives life to those that will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we pray for thy help tonight, that both preacher and hearer might know the help of God for the speaking and for the hearing of thy truth. We ask that our Savior may be glorified, his name uplifted. We ask that all men will be drawn unto him. Undertake for us now, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our text for this evening is found in the second half of the verse 7 of 1 John chapter 1, where we read in the Word of God that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I read a story some time back of a great ecumenical council that was being held in the city of Chicago in the United States. And there were representatives of every known religion under the sun, all getting together for a great powwow, a great talk about how great things would be if only they would come together and unite under one banner. There was a fundamentalist church in the area that were opposed to the ecumenical leanings of this group. And with much prayer and deliberation, they decided that their minister should go and make representation for the cause of Christ. And after many of the keynote speeches of the day, the floor was opened up for any that wished to speak. The minister took his opportunity. He stood to his feet. He said, "I want to introduce you to a woman with great sorrow. Blood stains are upon her hands. Nothing that she has ever done or ever tried has removed her guilt. Her guilt is that of murder. She has been driven to desperation in her distress. Is there anything in any of your religions that will remove her sin, that will give her peace, that will take away her guilt?" A silence fell upon the whole gathering. Not one rose to answer. At which the minister began to cry out. He said, "I hear the voice of the Apostle John speak. Listen to what he says." He says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Not a sound broke the silence. All of the representatives of all of the various religions that are found in all parts of the world sat dumb. In the greatest hour of human need for the removing of sin and of guilt, there was nothing that they could do. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ could meet that need. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. When it comes to the great need of the human soul to be freed from sin and to be cleansed from iniquity, it's the precious blood of Calvary alone that can set us free. Do you know that as you read your Bible, the New Testament in particular, there are some 290 references to the love of God. 290 times when God declares his love for sinners. But in those same chapters of the New Testament, you will find over 1,300 references to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over four times as many references to the death of God's Son than to the love of God for sinners. 1,300 times we are given assurances that salvation can be had, but only through the death of God's Son, only through the shedding of that precious blood of Christ. And I would suggest to you that that is the theme, the central theme of the whole Bible, that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. One commentator said, "The Bible is a book of blood, wholly distinct from all other books, for this one reason, that it contains blood circulating through every page, through every chapter, through every verse, from Genesis to Revelation. We see the stream of blood." One old preacher was asked by a young man just beginning his ministry. He said to him, "How do you make your point stick?" "Well," said the seasoned preacher, "I tell my congregation what I'm going to say, then I say it, and then I tell them what I've just said." Well, my friend, I'm going to preach on the blood of Christ tonight. And after I finish preaching, I'm going to tell you again that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, that old preacher realized something. The importance of repetition. Of keep repeating the vital substance of the gospel until finally it registers. I read somewhere that you must read something 17 times before it finally registers. For some of us it takes a little longer than 17. Some of you may be old enough to remember times in your school days that if you misbehaved in class, the teacher would give you lines. I must not talk in class. I must not talk in class. Maybe 500 times. Why? Because the hope was at the end of the 500th time, the message will finally have got through to you. Repetition again and again. The more that you would write that line, the greater possibility that the light would dawn on you that I must not talk in class. Repetition. The key to learning. The key to understanding. You realize something, that the greatest teacher is none other than the Spirit of God Himself. We're told that as the Savior will be taken away, that another Comforter would come, and He would come and lead and guide us into all truth and righteousness for Christ's sake. The Spirit of God would come and instruct us in the matters of the gospel and of the ministry and gospel of Christ. We would be taught by Him. And the Spirit of God uses this basic law of repetition. And as you read your Bible, you will find that picture after picture, and type after type, and declaration after declaration throughout the Scriptures point to the central truth that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's the central theme of the Bible, the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood, the peace-giving blood, the purging blood, the pardoning blood of Christ is the central theme of the whole of the Scriptures. We have a proclaiming blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Nowadays, it almost seems to be the fashion to exclude the blood of Christ. We have versions of the Scripture that do all that they can to remove every reference to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have churches in our land that have removed verses from hymns because it makes reference to the blood. We have so-called evangelicals and pulpits that are afraid to mention the blood of Christ. God doesn't hesitate to use the word. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't hesitate to speak of it. The apostles Paul and Peter and John spoke of the blood of Christ. And so should we. We speak of this word with an adoring wonder. We speak of the blood of Christ with heartfelt thanks and with bated breath, because it is precious to us. Because it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that has cleansed us from all of our sin. It's precious because it cost so much to shed it. Cost the very life of the Son of God. It's precious blood. And through that blood of Christ comes every blessing. And we find this message affirmed throughout the whole of the Scripture. When you consider the Old Testament, it can be divided into three sections: the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms. Let me ask you, what's the heart of the Law? Would it be the book of Leviticus? The heart of Leviticus is the feasts of the Lord. And the heart of the feasts must surely be the Day of Atonement. That day when the great high priest would come into the presence of God with the blood of the sacrifice to sprinkle upon the mercy seat. And we read in Leviticus 17 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. What's the heart of the law? It's the blood. the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. The second division of the Old Testament is the prophets. Which of the prophets is considered to be the one that is greatest of all must surely be Isaiah. What's the heart of Isaiah? Can we go past Isaiah 53? That chapter that foretells of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells of that great substitutionary work of Calvary, where the blessed Son of God would die upon the center tree for sinners. Does it surprise you then to read in Isaiah 53, in the very heart of the prophets, that He was wounded for our transgressions? That the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin? That's the message of Isaiah. The death, that substitutionary death of Christ, the shedding of precious blood that cleanses us from all sin. What about the Psalms, that third section of the Old Testament? What's the heart of the Psalms? Surely it must be that triplet of Psalms 22, 23, and 24. They go together, you know. They all come together. Tells us of the sufferings of Christ in Psalm 22. It's the Psalm of the cross. Psalm 23, the Psalm of the shepherd. Psalm 24, the Psalm of the crown. And it all begins with these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Words that would be uttered by our Savior on the cross of Calvary. The very center of the Psalms begins with an utterance of Christ upon the cross as He was shedding His blood. Surely again our attention is being drawn to the heart of the matter, that the blood is central, not only in the law, in the Day of Atonement, not only in the prophets, but also in the Psalms. The theme of blood is found throughout the whole Old Testament Scripture. It's affirmed again and again and again. But what of the New Testament? Again, we find that the New Testament can be broken into three various sections. You have the Gospels, you have the Epistles, and then you have the book of the Revelation, the prophecy of the Lord. The heart of the Gospels, then. Can there be any debate? Is it not John chapter 3? In the heart of John chapter 3 must surely be the verse 16, where we read that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Gave Him for what? Gave Him for a sacrifice for sinners. Gave Him to be offered up on the cross. Gave Him that His blood might be shed, that we might be redeemed. The heart of the Gospels must surely point to the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. You have the Epistles then. Slightly more difficult to come to a heart of the Epistles, but I would suggest to you that it's the book of Romans. Details and outlines for us the great wonders of God's salvation. Lays down in doctrine the need of a Savior. And the provision of a Savior. The heart of the book of Romans, that great chapter of transition, chapter 5, where Adam and Christ are presented, one that ushers in death and sin, and one that brings in life and peace with God. We read in Romans 5 and verse 8, being now justified by His blood. Did you hear that? Justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. What's the heart of the epistles? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The last great division of the New Testament is the book of the Revelation. The heart of the book is found in heaven. You find there in chapter 1 a great doxology of praise being offered up by the church unto the Lamb. They sing praises unto Him that hath loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. The great pinnacle of praise of heaven is for the blood of Christ. Shame on those that say that the blood perished. Shame on them. The blood is the theme of heaven. The people sing praises to the Lamb whose blood is cleansed. Can you understand now why Satan would make such an attack upon the blood of Christ? Can you see now why so much effort has been underwent by Satan to encourage churches and denominations to rid themselves of hymns that sing praise to the blood? Or to read from versions of the Scripture that omit that precious truth that it's the blood of Christ that saves us? It's a great victory for Satan. And preachers fail to mention the blood of Christ. The Lord God of heaven has placed tremendous emphasis on the blood throughout the whole of the Scriptures. Running from Genesis to Revelation is that river of blood that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If the devil can get us away from the blood, he's won a tremendous victory over the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to proclaim it. We ought to preach it. We ought to use it in our praise and in our singing. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's a wonderful provision God has made for us. We read in that verse of Scripture that it's the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. The word Jesus tells us something of His humanity. It was the name that was given to Him upon His birth. He was declared to be the God of salvation. Here was the man, the great God-man that would deliver us from sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That word Christ tells us something of His ministry. Here's one that was anointed by God. Here's one that is anointed above His fellows. Here's one that would go to the cross. It's His ministry, it's His purpose and His passion to shed His blood for sinners. Never let us forget that it was His Son. Nothing less than the blood of God could redeem ruined sinners from death and from destruction. Nothing less than the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, could cleanse us from our sin. Back in the Old Testament, their worship in the tabernacle and in the temple, there was a brazen altar that stood at the entrance. And the people would come day after day and bring their sacrifices of blood. They'd bring their bullocks, their goats, their sheep, their pigeons. They'd bring their livestock to be offered upon the altar. The sacrifices would be slain. And the fire burnt on. God's wrath against sin is a consuming fire, and it burnt on. In the day that the temple was dedicated, Solomon sacrificed some 200,000 sheep in one day. And the fire raged on because the blood of bulls and goats could never take away the wrath of God. No, but the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, could. It's precious blood. One day as John the Baptist was by the River Jordan, as he was preaching repentance, as he was baptizing his converts, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared on the scene, and John cried out with a loud voice, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Year after year, you've been bringing your sacrifices to the tabernacle and to the temple. Year after year you've searched through your flocks for a lamb without spot or blemish to bring unto God as an offering. Behold the Lamb of God. God has searched for a spotless lamb. God has searched through His heaven for one that was perfect, one that was pure, one that was without spot or blemish. And in the words that we find in the book of Genesis, as Abraham offered them to his son Isaac, he said, God have provided Himself a lamb. God would be the lamb. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. It's God's Son that shed His life upon Calvary. And as it was in the day of the Passover in the land of Egypt, and the blood of the sacrifice was painted upon the doorposts of the houses of the children of Israel. God says concerning the blood of His Son, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And here on the banks of Jordan, John the Baptist says, here is God's Lamb. Your search is over. God has provided Himself a lamb. God would be the substitute. God would provide His own Son as a remedy for sin. We should have died. Our sins cry out for judgment from God, but God has provided a substitute. That's why the Savior had to die. That's why the precious blood had to be shed. He had to become our substitute. He must die in order that we might live. I wonder, can you look to Calvary? Can you say that He died in my place? Can you cry out with one of old that the wrath of God that was my due upon the Lamb was laid? And by the shedding of His blood, the debt for me was paid. Lord Jesus Christ was a substitute for sinners. And by the shedding of His blood, He made satisfaction. He satisfied the wrath of God. God had declared in His word that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not just physical death, nor spiritual death, but eternal death. And if any man, if any woman, any young person would be delivered from that eternal death, then God must devise a way whereby His justice would be satisfied, that sin would be punished, but yet that grace might reign supreme. God can't sacrifice His justice on the altar of love. And our Bible, which tells us that God is love, also tells us that God is just. He cannot just overlook the sin of mankind. It must be paid for. This terrible penalty must be administered. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Death must come because of sin. Supposing you were brought to a court of law, and you were found guilty, and the judge, as he was about to pronounce sentence upon you, put that little black cap upon his head and said, I sentence you to die for your crimes. You would say that it would be just. It would be just and worthy that you should die for your crimes. But supposing that that same judge came down out of his seat, laid aside his wig and his robes, and came down to where you were standing and said, you may go free, and I will take your penalty. I will die in your place. In a much greater sense, That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. You see, not only would He be just in declaring your punishment, but He would also show His great love and grace and mercy in that He would die in your place and set you free. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He came to redeem sinners. He came to save His people with a love that was real, a love that was sacrificial, a love that was personal for His own children. And here we find God's love working in perfect harmony with His justice. Sin would be punished and grace would be administered. The Lord Jesus Christ would die for sin and the sinner would be set free. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. No man could pay the price for your sin. Why? He's got His own sin to pay for. He's got His own crimes to atone for. The judgment of God is already crying out for retribution upon His sin. No man can take away our sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, can. We find that perfect substitute provided a perfect satisfaction for God's justice. It's marvelous when you read the accounts of the birth of Christ. The very angels of heaven crowd the heavenlies and cry out in song, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Unto you. Unto you. Have you ever considered that God has taken you into account when He provided a Savior? When He sent His Son into this world to die upon a cross for sinners, that He had you in mind? Unto you is born this day a Savior. But upon the cross, as the Savior shed His life's blood for sinners, could it be that you were on His mind? Wonderful power in the blood of Christ. It's the power that cleanseth us from all sin. Sin has to be the ugliest thing in this world. It's sin that degrades us. Sin that destroys us. Sin, if it remains unforgiven, that will damn us forever. But what wonderful message there is to be heard in the gospel of Christ, that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That which destroys and damns us can be cleansed away by the blood of Christ. Let me ask a friend in closing, do you know anything about its cleansing power? Can you testify to a time when the Lord God of heaven revealed Himself to be a Savior for your soul? Was there a time when you cried at the foot of His cross for mercy, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner"? Was there a time that your sin weighed heavy upon you, and the judgment of God hung overhead, and yet the Word of God revealed to you one that died upon a cross to redeem you and to save you and to set you free? Do you know anything about its pardon? Anything about its peace? Do you know anything about the purging of the blood of the Lamb of God? Have you been set free from sin? Have you been set in liberty in Christ? Are you cleansed? There was an open-air preacher that was preaching from this text one day. He was interrupted by an atheist that asked him this question. He said, "How can the blood cleanse from sin?" For a moment the preacher was silent. He asked the question in return. He said, "How can water quench thirst?" "I don't know," said the atheist, "but I know that it does." The preacher replied, Neither do I know how the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin, but I know that it does. The peace of God will reign in your heart. There will be a peace with God that was never there before. Peace that only God can give. Because the precious blood of Christ is effective. It really cleans. It really pardons. It really averts the punishment of God away from the sinner and onto Christ. It pronounces us to be just and pure and spotless. And we who were once fouled by sin have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Is there any wonder we can sing that there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb? No matter how sinful you might be, how vile your sins might be, how black your heart, how selfish your affections, how horrible you might be in the sight of God, and how heinous and wicked your sin might be, have you ever considered that the blood of Jesus Christ is able to cleanse you from them all? That the blood that flowed from Calvary's cross is able to wash you and make you clean in the sight of God? Have you ever knelt at that cross? Have you ever sought that pardon from God? Have you found that cleansing that comes only through the blood of Christ? If you've never knelt at the cross of Christ, will you do it tonight? Will you seek the Lord for the cleansing that comes through the precious blood? Will you find that peace with God, that cleansing that comes through the blood of the Savior? Will the Lord in mercy apply His word to our hearts this night? And may there be that seeking of the blood of Christ for cleansing the way of our sins, that we might be pure in the sight of God. Amen. Father in heaven, how we praise Thee for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Thy Son, freely shed upon Calvary, in order that we might be cleansed from our sin. We thank Thee, our God, that there are many in our gathering that can testify to the cleansing power of Christ. Many that know that their sins have been forgiven by that once for all sacrifice of Thy Son upon Calvary. May we ever cherish that blood of Christ. May we ever highly esteem it above all other things. May we ever sing praises to Thee because of that great sacrifice of Thy Son at Calvary. May we live daily in the power of that blood. And our God, we come to Thee in behalf of those that are still in their sins, those that know not to pray. We pray for them. We pray that the light of the gospel might penetrate the darkness of their souls. We pray, our Father, that the light of heaven might search out their hearts and expose their sinfulness unto them, that they might realize that their sins are a grievous thing in Thy sight, that they are a burden that will damn them for all eternity in that terrible lake of fire. But we pray, our Father, that Thou would reveal Thyself to them, that by Thy Spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ might be presented as one that freely shed His blood for sinners, that they might be cleansed from their sin, that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ as that Lamb of God which taketh away their sin. We pray, our Father, that repentance and faith might be given to them tonight, that they might be awakened by Thy Spirit, they might repent of their sins and trust in Thee, that they might know that cleansing that comes only by the blood of Christ. Father in heaven, we pray that as we depart from one another, as the voice of man would be silent, we pray that Thy Spirit might continue to speak on, to strive on in the hearts of those that are still in their sin, and to bring them savingly to the Lord Jesus Christ for that cleansing away of all of their sins. Do be with us now, we pray. We ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen.